Greetings to the brightest Estonians in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. And in studio, we have Lolita Hanks, who is a board member of Colorado Right to Life. Lolita, welcome.
Hi, Bob.
It's great to have you here. We have four things we want to talk about. A full-page ad coming up in the WorldNet Daily magazine. The 40th anniversary of abortion being legalized in Colorado. A petition you guys have on your website, ColoradoRightToLife.org, to the governor of Colorado not to fund Planned Parenthood, and then the HPV vaccine, that this is going around the country where state governments are trying to give it by force mandate that young girls are given this vaccine for this particular STD, sexually transmitted disease. So let's start at the beginning. WorldNet Daily, that's one of the top news websites in the world, and it comes from a conservative Christian perspective, which is pretty neat.
Yeah, it's great.
It's run by Joseph Farah. Well, they have a magazine that comes out called Whistleblower, and it is edited by David Kapelian.
Yeah, he does Whistleblower, and Joseph Farah does the website.
Okay. And in fact, Kapelian also has an excellent book out right now. I have it right here. I know you've read it. Is it, you recommend it?
It's a great book.
The Marketing of Evil. In fact, we might speak to David Kapelian on a future show about this book. But their magazine is very popular. And tell me about the ad you guys brought to the magazine and what happened.
We used the 40-year commitment. And that was a pledge that we've put on our website for a while that is for people who are pro-life that don't want to compromise. And they agree not to compromise by signing that pledge.
It's called 40 Years, 50 Million Dead, One Commitment. And it illustrates what does it mean to make a commitment to God to uphold his enduring command, thou shalt not murder, without exception.
That's right.
What does that commitment mean? And it gives a list of about 15 examples that I will never support any law that effectively ends and then you could kill the baby, for example. And so then people are signing that pledge. And in fact, that commitment, that 40 years, 50 million dead, one commitment, if people go to your website, ColoradoRightToLife.org, it's right there on the homepage.
Right. And they can print it off and mail it to us. Mm-hmm. They might even be able to sign it online. I'm not
sure. Yeah, online.
We're working on updating our website.
Yeah. They could click right here and let you guys know online that they are joining you guys in making this commitment. So your idea was to take out a half-page ad in Whistleblower magazine with this text.
Right, because it was all we could afford in our budget. But David Kapelian liked the commitment so much that he gave us a full-page ad at a very reduced rate.
Whoa, that is exciting.
It's very exciting.
I heard the story that when he read it, he said, I like this. I want this as a full page, and we'll cut the rate. We want it in the magazine.
Yeah, that was awesome.
That is awesome. Praise the Lord. Because this commitment that Colorado Right to Life is spearheading, this commitment to not compromise on God's enduring command, do not murder, and that is really the way to fight the killing of innocent children.
Right. And that particular ad also states in there, take this commitment to your local Right to Life office, and if they won't adopt it, come join us.
Mm. That's exciting.
It's fabulous.
Yeah, you guys are good. You guys have energized quite a few pro-lifers around the country who have seen the compromise get worse and worse and worse, where it's starting to get, well, for example, at the last Republican National Convention, all the primetime speakers were pro-abortion.
That's right.
They're all pro-abortion, and pro-lifers have thought, hey, we have a home in the Republican Party. They've thought that for a quarter century. The problem is that when you compromise, when good people compromise on do not murder, then where are we not going to compromise?
Exactly. And we don't have a home in the Republican Party. They've been prepping us for years to have a pro-abortion candidate. And look at who they're putting up. Mitt Romney is supposedly all of a sudden pro-life.
Mm. Yeah. And we've seen that over and over and over. And this judge in Boston this federal judge who just ruled to force this homosexual curriculum on Christian kids in public school. That judge was nominated for the federal judiciary by Ronald Reagan.
Yeah, it's tragic.
So, yeah, today, Laura Ingraham on her radio show, she's lamenting how evil these judges are. And do you think she bothers to find out, well, this is a Republican judge? Because time and time again, the vast majority of the federal judiciary were nominated by Republican presidents, these justices, and most of them by Reagan, Bush, and George W. Bush.
Yeah, it's tragic. But I think Laura Ingraham, as a lawyer and someone who used to clerk for the Supreme Court, she knows that.
She knows it.
I really find it hard to believe that she would know who they were nominated by.
So that they just don't...
They don't make the connection, I don't always think.
They don't make the connection. They sure don't want their audience to realize that the judges who rule, for example, that a convicted child molester has the right to go to a public park and make balloon animals and give them to kids because we can't stop them. That's a Republican-nominated federal judge who makes that ruling. A Republican Supreme Court ruled that child pornographers have the right to produce and sell child pornography as long as it's digitized, if it's animated.
Right, it's very sick.
It's very sick. Terry Schiavo, 6 of 6 Reagan, Bush, George W. Bush justices in the federal court in Florida ruled to go ahead and kill Terry Schiavo. All 6. We didn't get one. And our Christian conservative pro-life leaders and talk show hosts, they're not telling us this.
No, they're not. But people can do some of their own homework, too.
Yeah. And so that's what we're doing here at Bob and Yurt Live. And you guys at Colorado Right to Life are encouraging me, because for a long time, I felt like we were in this alone or just with a few, like Flip Benham out there, Operation Save America, for example. He's such a neat leader and has recognized this also. Now, on the 40th anniversary of abortion being legalized, it started where in the country?
In Colorado, unfortunately.
And when was that?
That was in 1967.
1967, April 25th. So Colorado Right to Life is holding an event at the State House, at the Capitol. And this is going to be quite an event. It's in the afternoon. And
we're going to be in the Supreme Court chambers where it was signed.
The former Supreme Court chambers, which just that room is extraordinary, just for the historic value of going to the Capitol. In fact, if you're a homeschool family listening right now, you could bring your kids to this event.
Yeah, that would be great.
It would be great. And Alan Keyes is the keynote speaker. He has run for president, UN ambassador, extraordinary orator, maybe the best orator in the country right now.
He's good.
And what a strong pro-life leader he is. Then we have Flip Benham, the Reverend Flip Benham.
Yeah, that's going to be fabulous to have Flip.
Director of Operation Save America. He is just so great. And there's one other speaker. I don't know if I ever heard of him. A pastor, Bob Enyard.
Yeah, this Bob Enyard. He comes up a lot.
I don't know what's going on. But he will be speaking on Focus on the Strategy 2.
Oh, that'll be fabulous.
The sequel.
He needs to be speaking because he helps us a lot.
Oh, thank
you. And we appreciate all your help.
Thank you, Lolita. And so then there will be a panel discussion. And Brian Rohrbaugh, the president of Colorado Right to Life, will be leading this panel discussion on, really, let's roll up our sleeves and focus on the strategy. Let's figure out how to stop the killing.
That's right.
Because we've become a movement. The pro-life movement is like an industry. It just goes on forever.
It does. And I think there are some people that are in it, especially at National, that are in it to keep their job. And if we take away abortion, they might not have anything to do.
Wow. That's a pretty harsh comment.
I know it's harsh.
But when we look at, and that doesn't just come flippantly, because for many, many years, we have seen National Right to Life compromise so often that now compromises who they are.
Right. They can't understand anything else. We did present that commitment to them. They did not like it.
At their national convention just in January. And they are more interested in getting Republicans elected. In fact, what special interest group gets money from the political party? That's unheard of. And the Republican National Committee in the election year 4-year cycle, they give National Right to Life over $500,000.
Yeah.
That is shocking. That's shocking. And so National Right to Life has a history of opposing pro-life candidates and supporting pro-choice candidates because they're Republican or they think they have a better chance of winning.
Right. But last election cycle, there was two Republican candidates and one was pro-life and they chose to support the pro-abortion
one. Oh, yeah. Right. Because he has a better chance of winning.
Which is ridiculous.
Right. And so a better chance of winning and killing kids because he's pro-choice.
Right.
Right. So anyway, okay, this is coming up on the afternoon of April 25th. And it's at the Capitol building, downtown Denver, in the former Colorado State Supreme Court chambers.
Right.
It's going to be extraordinary. Alan Keyes, Flip Benham, Bob Enyart, the president of Colorado Right to Life, Brian Rohrbaugh, will be there leading the panel discussion. What a time.
Right. And the rest of the board members will be there, so they'll get a chance to talk to them as well.
To meet the board of Colorado Right to Life. And again, bring your kids.
It's great for your kids. It'd be great for the kids.
Yeah. Okay. And now you guys have a petition to the governor of Colorado. Could you tell me about that?
Well, Governor Ritter had said when he was campaigning, and we also found it on his campaign website, that he was hoping to refund Planned Parenthood. Made that a campaign promise that actually is opposed to the Constitution of Colorado, where you cannot directly or indirectly fund abortion mm-hmm. with taxpayer dollars. Mm-hmm. So we have a petition on our website that people can sign if they want to. If he does make an attempt to do that, that we'll try and block him. Mm-hmm. We have some other measures that we're going to use to block him that we're not going to talk about right now. But
yeah, okay,
we have things in place. We don't want people to think we're not going to do anything about that. But
yeah, and this. Bill Ritter has lied all this time when he said he's pro-life.
Well, he's personally pro-life. See, that's separate from his political action.
Yeah, he's such a liar.
Exactly.
If he was personally pro-life, even if that were true, and that's a big lie, but even if it were true, then he would not go out of his way to try to violate the Colorado State Constitution and fund our biggest abortion provider in the state.
Right. But I'm sure they gave him lots of campaign dollars, so he needs to give him a favor.
Yeah, he's a hypocrite. And that's why Dan Kaplis, local talk show host on KHOW Radio, and he was a longtime friend of Bill Ritter and campaign supporter. And just a few days before Ritter's landslide victory, Kaplis said, "I'm no longer supporting him because it has become obvious that when he says he's pro-life, he's lying."
Right.
And that's my words, not Dan Kaplis's. But Bill Ritter is not pro-life, and he has said he would not sign a bill that outlaws abortion.
Right.
So he's not pro-life.
No, okay. He's not.
All right. It's like somebody saying I'm against the killing of Jews. Personally, I wouldn't kill Jews, but I'm not going to try to stop it as a governing official.
But that's their whole argument, that you can, if you're against abortion, don't have one.
Right.
I mean, that's the same thing. I'm against slavery, so I won't have a slave.
Right, exactly. Yeah, if you're against kidnapping children, just don't kidnap one.
Well, of course.
It's
ridiculous.
Sick.
We should never stand by when our neighbors are being slaughtered.
Right. It appears that you guys not only are getting names on this petition, but hundreds of names that you haven't had on your membership or your mailing list. That's pretty neat.
Yeah,
Colorado
it's great.
Right to Life.
And we're hoping those people will become members.
Is reaching out to more and more people, not only outside of the state, but within the state.
Right.
That's exciting. Okay, now, for a number of shows, I've mentioned this HPV, human papilloma virus, and state after state is trying to mandate that young girls are given this vaccine.
Right.
So talk us through it. You are a...
I'm a registered nurse for 12 years, and almost a year, I've been a family nurse practitioner.
A nurse practitioner. So you have a background in medicine, in healthcare. So tell us about the HPV vaccine.
Okay, this is a vaccine that was created by Merck, who is also the maker of Vioxx, if people remember that scandal.
All right.
This is a vaccine that has aluminum in it and has caused many of the people in the trials to become ill because of that reason. But they want to use this vaccine to prevent 4 of one of the many strains that cause cancer from the HPV virus. That virus causes cervical cancer.
HPV is rampant among high school and college age girls.
Right. Most common between the age of 11 to 25.
Rampant. And it's because they're sexually active in an immoral way, promiscuous.
Exactly.
And even a condom doesn't prevent the transmission of HPV.
Right, because it's skin to skin and condoms don't cover the whole area.
Right. And so, you know, God said to be faithful within marriage. That's the proper context for sexual relations. And here we have our government in every imaginable way promoting sexual immorality. It has the natural consequence of people's lives being destroyed, disease being spread, and they're saying, oh, by the way, since we promote sexual immorality and we denigrate marriage, why don't we force this vaccine on people, on young girls, so that that'll help reduce the consequences.
Right. And they especially are very, like Governor Perry in Texas, who mandated it with an executive order. He is saying that that's going to save them $2 million a year in cervical cancer-related costs, yet it costs $30 million every 2 years to give the vaccine.
Mm.
So that doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
Well, financially in that respect. So tell me a little bit more about this HPV and the vaccine itself.
9,700 cases of cervical cancer, according to the American Cancer Society, a year across mm-hmm. the country. And that has been reduced by just having pap screenings.
Mm-hmm.
So really the need for this vaccine is unnecessary.
Mm.
So they want to, what's going to happen is they're going to give this vaccine. Your daughter's going to think she's more invincible than she already thinks. And the promiscuity is going to go up. We're going to have more other diseases. We're going to have more abortion.
Okay. Now, everything you've said so far, that's the strongest argument I've identified in all of it so far, because financial issues.
Right. That's just extra.
Yeah, right. Exactly. So much when you do something wrong, it's typically unwise, not only in one way, but a dozen ways.
Right.
But this makes young people even more invincible in their own minds. I can't get this HPV. Therefore, I am safe being sexually active outside of marriage.
Right, but there's so many other sexually transmitted diseases, they don't think about those.
Including chlamydia, HIV.
HIV, chlamydia causes infertility in many women because there's no symptoms.
And chlamydia, when a woman is infertile, that often destroys her. Not that it needs to, because in God, we are complete if we trust in God. But many women who cannot conceive, it is devastating to them, sometimes to the point where they're debilitated in their life and even their marriages have fallen apart.
Right. Well, and we can look around us. That's how we got to embryonic stem cell research, is that people couldn't have kids and they started creating all these frozen children.
And so STDs make it more difficult to conceive and to bring children to birth. And abortion has led to an epidemic of preemies,
that's
premature
right.
babies, dying, struggling for life. And so when the government is going to mandate that young girls get this HPV vaccine, what happens is they think, hey, now I really am impervious to, I can't be hurt.
Right.
And it's absurd. We know that kids have this problem of thinking that they're invincible.
Right. And you know who will profit from this, too? This is just another extra reason. Mm. Rocky Mountain Planned Parenthood just put out a press release last week that they would be offering that vaccine. So mm-hmm. your tax dollars would be going to pay for that vaccine. But I guess recently they realized they can't afford. There's no money in the Colorado budget to have this vaccine. It's going to mm-hmm. cost something like $20 million.
Yeah. And so by accident, they might do the right thing, just not doing
right,
this.
Not on purpose.
By accident. And so tell me again now, a young woman gets this vaccine.
Well, they would like to start at the age of 9 if they could, but it hasn't been proven safe for that age.
Mm.
In Colorado, they were going to mandate it that the age of 12 and up. Another reason to keep your kids out of public school, by the way.
12 and up. And so let's say a 12-year-old, 13-year-old girl gets this HPV vaccine, and then she thinks, wow, I am safe from this sexually transmitted disease. But like you just listed, a number is gonorrhea, syphilis, and
right.
on and on and on. There's pregnancy.
Right.
13, 14-year-old gets pregnant, and this doesn't protect her from, like we said, HIV and AIDS.
Right. And it only protects against certain strains. And then they don't know how long that protection is going to last. This drug has only been tested for 4 years. It hasn't been tested for a long time. Mm-hmm. Boosters may be needed. There's lots of side effects with this vaccine that people have been suffering from. Mm-hmm. It's not a very proven safe thing to do, but it seems what Merck was trying to do, from what I can see, is by having their lobbyists go in every state government, because 26 states are considering mandating this. Mm. I mean, we don't mandate the flu vaccine, do we? Mm. Yet you can bet your bottom dollar that more people die from the flu than they do from cervical cancer. But we don't mandate that.
Right. And it's because our government has this knee-jerk reaction to support anything that promotes sexual immorality.
Yes. And Merck needs a way to pay for all their Vioxx lawsuits.
Even like welfare over the decades, you know, welfare, the government pays basically when a man wants to be intimate with a woman and not marry her, not care for her children, then the government comes in and gives her housing and medical care and food. And so this welfare state basically pays women to have sex with men who will not support them.
Right. And when I was on food stamps, when I was a single mom, mm-hmm. they used to tell me that the dad of the children could not even be living in the house with me. So that's part of their rule, is right. to break down the family, which right. they've done a very good job in the black community, mm-hmm. unfortunately.
Now, Lolita Hanks, we're speaking to, nurse practitioner. Lolita, when you testified at the Senate hearing this past month, when this Senate bill was introduced to ban all abortion in Colorado, you basically gave your testimony, and it yes. was very powerful. In fact, we've talked about it a bit on this show in the yeah. past, and that testimony that you gave, an audio copy of that is available on your website.
Yes, it is.
And that is exciting, and people, I strongly recommend you go to Colorado Right to Life. In fact, what we'll do again, we've done this before, but we'll link to that again from kgov.com from this show. And so people will be able to listen. But what a testimony. You grew up in extremely difficult circumstances, and your public school advisor, counselor, said you should have an abortion. And what was your first thought when they said that?
My first thought was that I wouldn't put that child in public school, and I didn't. And that, she'll be 18 next month.
She'll be 18. Her name is Epiphany.
Yes, and she's fabulous.
Beautiful young Christian gal. Just extraordinary. And so the public school counselor wanted you to kill her.
Yes, she did. And so because I was too smart was her comment.
You were too smart.
Right.
To love your baby.
Right. To be loaded down with a kid and all that responsibility.
Right. And so I doubt there's anything in the world you would trade Epiphany for.
No, there isn't. I'd give her my life.
Of course, right?
Yeah, right.
It's our children, and God has made us with this natural love of our children. But our culture and abortion has turned the hearts of the mothers against their own children.
Yes, it has. If you think back way back in the 40s, how many moms would say, oh, you know, I won't give my life for my child, you know, if they were in that situation. And now today they gladly trade.
Yeah, just for comfort.
Exactly.
Just for comfort.
For convenience.
For convenience. Right, exactly.
So, now, what would happen, Bob, if somebody came out with an AIDS vaccine? Do you think that gay men would be more abstinent, or do you think they'd be more promiscuous?
They would be way more promiscuous. And so you point out that you have talking points on this that you used with senators and representatives at the Capitol. You guys had a legislative lunch there recently. And that this gives a false sense of security to these young people.
That's right. And we shouldn't, and you know, one of my talking points on here too is that we should not pretend that this disease does not have predictable and preventable risk factors, because it does. You should be teaching your daughter that she is worth waiting for and that she is not to be used by any man. And you should be teaching your son that he is not to expect that from a young lady unless he's going to marry her.
Right. And what the Democrats and liberals and even the Republicans tell us is that, oh, come on, get real. They're kids. This is what kids are going to do. And when you have low expectations for children, then guess what? They meet those low expectations.
Yes, they do. But isn't it funny that we expect them not to smoke and not to use drugs? We can expect them to have self-control in that area, but somehow they're animals when it comes to sex.
Yeah. Our culture is so broken. You just mentioned we expect them not to use drugs. Outside of our local Walgreens, there were some young people, two young women, raising money for the DARE program. Mm. And so I was just walking by trying to ignore them sort of. And they called me over and said, sir, please help kids stay off drugs. And I said, you know, I followed the DARE program for years. And the kids who went through the DARE program, they have no greater likelihood of staying off drugs than the kids who did not go through it. So it hasn't worked. And the reason it hasn't worked is because it's not taught from a perspective that it's wrong to get high. It's just taught from a perspective of you should take control over your own decisions. You got to make your own decisions.
There's no way just telling people to take control of their life is going to make any kind of difference or change.
Yeah, that's right. Kids need to be told that this is wrong.
And it's destructive, and they need specific examples.
You're right. It's wrong, and what's happened is our culture will not say anything is right or wrong.
Oh, well, they will, because if you're against abortion, you're wrong.
Well,
you're a Christian, you're wrong.
Right. But and as a general rule, though, they shy against right and wrong. They don't like telling kids about right and wrong. That's because they tell kids they've evolved from animals, and with animals, there is no right and wrong.
No, there isn't.
So this young woman said to me, well, here's our brochure. It's a new DARE program, and on the back of it, it said, DARE because it works. And so I go through this brochure, and it says everything the DARE program does, and not once do they say that it's wrong to be intoxicated. It's wrong to be drunk. It's wrong to be high. It's just teaching kids, empowering them to make decisions.
Right,
and
it's
so
ridiculous.
They think, hey, I'm 15 years old, and my friends are getting high, and I can make a decision not to. But come to think of it, I can make an informed decision too, because
right.
I'll just do it for a few years and then stop.
Well, and I wonder how well they teach them all the bad consequences of it. Like people that smoke pot, they just had a new study come out saying that if you had a family relative that had schizophrenia, the pot, there's like 45% increase in people that will get schizophrenic after that. Mm. Is that something you want to have for the rest of your life?
Mm.
I went on the internet and found a picture of a girl that had 10 mugshots over 10 years on meth. Scared my kids to death. That was one of the best ways to do it. But
yeah. Well, and so on this brochure, it said scientific, you know, verified results, but none of the results. And I read through the results, and it didn't say kids who go through the DARE program are 30% less likely to use drugs. They don't have that kind of test.
What did it say?
Well, it said they have better decision-making skills.
Decision-making to make the wrong decision.
Yeah, right.
And end up in jail.
To kill my baby, to use this vaccine so I don't get this particular STD, to be sexually active, to do drugs only when I decide, not when I'm pressured into it.
Right.
So that's the broken society we live in. Thank you, Lolita Hanks, and the board members of Colorado Right to Life, to saying, hey, we need to recommit ourselves to God's enduring command, do not murder.
Right.
Because that's the foundation of civilized human behavior.
Well, and God knows us, and he knows what we should be doing.
All right. Lolita Hanks, thank you so very much.
Thank you, Bob.
What an honor to have a board member of Colorado Right to Life here in our studio. And then I want to let you know that event, April 25th at the Capitol, that's going to be great. But then also March 14th, downtown Denver at the Brown Palace, I will be presenting Focus on the Strategy 2. It's such an exciting seminar. That's Wednesday night, March 14th at 7 o'clock in the evening at the Brown Palace. And then we'll do the same seminar down south in Colorado Springs on Thursday, April 12th, 7 p.m. at Fellowship at the Rockies, 1625 South 8th Street. That's in Colorado Springs. So that's 3 dates, March 14th, April 12th, and April 25th. Please remember them. And the Maranatha Christian Center, what a great school in Colorado. That's Maranatha Christian Center. May God bless you all.